Conceived as the temple of the Virgin Athena, it was for centuries the Christian cathedral of the Virgin Mary, and it later became a mosque. By the end of the 18th century, it was a neglected ruin in a diminished Athens ruled by the Turks. But in the 1820s and 30s, the Greeks fought for and won independence, and they were given a German king by their European allies. The new state needed to define what kind of society it wanted to be. Olga Pelagia again.
Greece was resurrected in about 1830. We had a German king who came to Greece from Bavaria, and the Germans decided they were going to resurrect the Athens of Pericles. This initiated, I think, the perennial identification of the new Greek nation with the Parthenon. So we have been restoring it from 1834, and I'm sure this will never end. It will be a constant attempt to restore and redefine the Parthenon as a symbol. So the seed the Germans sowed in 1834 has really become very big and important.
And so this great building had, by the 1830s, acquired yet another meaning, not as the self-image of one ancient city, but as the emblem of a new modern country. And it was an emblem familiar to all educated Europeans through the sculptures in the British Museum. One of the most striking things about recent European history is how countries wanting to define and strengthen their present identity look to particular moments in the past. In the last 100 years or so, more and more people in Ireland, Scotland and Wales have wanted to see themselves as the heirs of a people that flourished in Northern Europe at the same time as the Athenians were building the Parthenon. And it's those other Europeans of 2,500 years ago, Europeans dismissed by the Greeks as barbarians, that I'm going to be talking about in the next programme. You can see this object in close-up and browse hundreds more at the A History of the World website. Go to bbc.co.uk/A History of the World.